Over the last few years, we've certainly had our challenging times, and it can be hard to focus on the good things in life or the gifts that brought us, that were brought to us as we endeavor to get past the challenges, the roadblocks, or the misfortunes that we may have encountered. In Low Cup, we have a moving meditation that's part of Tai Chi practice. And this movement is called Stop the Cart and Ask for Directions. And this is a way for us to really look at whether or not we're making choices that allow us to thrive in life, or we're making choices that take us to death and decay. I always love those words. So I appreciate knowing that there's a choice always at the start. And because when I move forward with the pattern, it provides me with a step forward to living and thriving. It reminds me that we all have a choice, and how we approach things can go in that direction. So how we approach these situations and how we bring in the heart makes it very important for us. And today we're going to look at the power of gratitude and forgiveness to release stress and tension in our lives. And how can we look at our challenges and celebrate our ability to find the way through? How can we forgive ourselves and others when choices might not have been for the best of everyone? So I'm bringing my sister Charlene Waynes back into the conversation, and her latest activities and support for the Moyos will be in the light of our conversation today, exploring perspective and heart-centered living. So we all need a reality check to return to thriving and healing in our living. So join us to find the tips and tools that will take you there. You're listening to Be Well with Michelle Greenwell. This is sponsored by the Cape Breton Tea Company, as well as Dance Debut, Inc. So, Charlene, welcome back. Thank you for joining me for 2024.
Thank you. It's great to be back. We were in person together a week or so ago, not even a week ago. It seems funny to now be cross-country, but it's great to be back. Thank you.
Yeah, and we thought we'd be able to record in person, and living got in the way. We had so much fun.
Fun, and then snow and ice. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, no ice, no power, no water. So that's a great way to start our conversations today. But let's dive into, first of all, getting the deck of cards so we can get our intention fully set for today. And so for those listening for the first time, I'm pulling a card from my affirmations for the body and biofield deck. So I'm just holding the front card up. It has a ribbon of color on the front, which represents mother and child. So how we nurture ourselves, how we nurture others, how we're taken care of, and how we receive that care. And then I cut the deck, and we were joking before we started the recording. Every time I cut the deck, I cut it and let it pull from wherever. It's always bang on to our topic for the day. So I'm holding up. This is the fascia spine flow. So this is how the fascia comes off of the vertebra of the spine, goes out into the tissue, out into the organ systems. So you're seeing these rays of lighter color amongst green. It's this beautiful green. And the note is F. This is the middle thoracic spine, so center of the back between the shoulder blades, and the heart chakra. And our message is, love, forgiveness, compassion, and hope radiates to others when offered freely and openly. The gifts to everyone can be realized when love is unconditional. I'm sure we'll dive into that thought as we get along here. Okay, and with that, I know you and I both packed the Mission for Change community tea today.
We did.
Which has had amazing results across these last couple of months. Do you want to share what you have?
What I have in terms of my teacup?
What you've got with your teacup. So Charlene's just bringing up the label of the tea. So for those people who are on video, they'll be able to see it. If you're listening, you have a picture of the lotus flower, which is the opening of possibility. And we were gifted teacups while we were together. So
yeah, from our amazing parents. So I've got this beautiful one with flowers and butterflies and birds on it. Very peaceful and serene, and not quite sure if it comes into focus, but it also comes with a beautiful little plate, little sandwich plate, and a spoon. They're just awesome. And yours?
I'm going to hold mine up. Mine are poppies. Yeah. And here's my little plate. It is just, just so beautiful to hold. So I feel like royal treatment as I'm holding it.
I feel very pinky up kind of a tea drinking day today. I do have community in mind. And as always, may seem a little unusual, but I like to sniff it before I have a drink because it, I don't know, it's very invigorating and inspiring, and it just adds to the flavor, I think. People do it with all kinds of other beverages. So, you know, as we become tea connoisseurs, you already are, as the rest of us gain that ability, I think, appreciating all the different scents of the ingredients makes quite a difference.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I was saying I had run out of the tea because I've drunk so much of it. And so I went to make some and mix it. And that didn't come as easily as I had hoped it would. So as I was mixing it, I was engaging with the herbs to make sure that I got the message in it. And each package has on the label has an intention on it. So I also wanted to make sure that I had that intention. In community, we are empowered for change. And so as I was making the tea, I was really reflecting on holding on to that intention with the bit I had to make myself today. So, yeah. All right. So cheers.
Cheers. Absolutely. Amazing thing when you have a sip of this now, when you first brought it out and you'd first made it, you know, there was excitement for what does this hold for us, you know, and now every time I drink it, I know that it's actually really making a difference in people's lives, that people have bought the tea. Not only have they bought the tea, but often when they buy the tea, they say, keep the change, just put it towards the family, something to help. And it's really been inspiring just how much people are interested in it. And when you talk about it and you talk about the reason and the intention, people light up. So it's not just, you know, my energy that they say they can feel, but it's also their energy that they want to be part of. And they want to be part of that healing and that connection and that community, which is the whole hope that we had for this. So, yeah, it's mm-hmm. amazing.
Mm-hmm. Mine today, because you said smell it first. And I thought, I do smell it, but I don't actually stop to be present with it as much as I could be. And I think that's just because I'm drinking tea all the time and I'm running to do different things, and tea's a part of what I do. But I could smell the lavender and the orange, which I know you get the citrusy smell comes through for you.
A little bit the rose.
But the taste today is like bubble gum.
Oh, interesting.
That's what I said. I was like, wow. But it was because I prepared it differently. I really locked into the actual intention, which sometimes I lock into the herb and I connect in with the herb, not so much with the intention in mind, but this time I flipped that around. And I know that that's going to sound crazy to those people listening, because how much power could an intention really have? But it does change the flavor. It changes the way you think about it.
Depending on how long you brew it and how strong it is, or how delicate it is. And at different times, it seems like there's more of the red rooibos coming out and the red color. Other times, not so much, even though I could make it from the same package even.
Yep.
It just, you know, there's always something a little bit different that jumps out.
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to talk a little bit about the sense of community, because I know we focus on the Moyo family and creating community for them and holding the hope for them. But we had an experience here this last weekend when we had the Tai Chi workshops, and we had the privilege of spending time again with David Hickey. Mm-hmm. And David Hickey, for those people that have not had the experience of Crystal Journey, he plays crystal bowls, plays Eastern instruments. He's got gongs, different planets, the sun, the moons. It's just an oasis for your body of sound infusion. And we were lucky enough to have the experience of a concert in between our two Tai Chi days. But what I wanted to reflect on was We had decided to focus on the community tea so people could get to know it a little bit more, other than the Tai Chi teas, which are lovely too. But we wanted to bring that story forward. And David had shared that he's moved across the country and he's now in a new community, even though he's done concerts there over the years before, but now he lives there. And yes. How he was feeling a little bit lost and not quite connected. And we drank the tea, you talked about it, and then there was this transformation to the music that everyone really experienced, and the sense of joy that came with it. Do you want to talk about maybe a little bit of your experience with it?
It was really interesting. We because we worked behind the scenes for the workshop too, we saw him get unpacked and everything, and it was sort of a typical, you know, well, I'll get this set up. No, I don't need any help. I've got my process and everything. And he gave a nice introduction to what he does and everything like that. But like you said, when he came back and did the first half of the show was very moving, and you really felt it. But the second half of the show was really, I think people could feel the difference. And he talked about that, you know, from where he started off his talk to where he was at the end, he wasn't the same person anymore. And really none of us are, right? From this minute to 10 minutes later. But that I think being in a place that was accepting and inviting to him made a difference, where he could just relax. This wasn't just a concert where I got to sell tickets, I got to do the setup, I got to, like, all the busyness that comes with performing and a concert and all of this. But he could let all of that go and say that this is a group who wants me here. You know, they've invited me to come into their little micro world, and they're open and ready for me. And mm-hmm. with that, he just went for it. And even he said he's never played a concert like that. He's never felt that same way, and that he was just ready to take charge and get out there and, you know, do this all again, because now he's back in love with what he's doing. Mm-hmm. is mm-hmm. how I took it. You know, that he does love, and it's a mission for him to do this work and to do his music. But that playing in that particular group with that sense of community around him, it transformed. Mm-hmm. And it lets him now share and move on with that, with other people too, and with himself. So mm-hmm.
yeah,
very inspiring, really interesting.
Yeah. And one of the participants was talking to me afterwards, and she was trained in therapeutic touch. And I'm also trained in therapeutic touch. And she said, I filled the space with a bubble of white light. And I created the sense of what the tea, what we talked about with the tea at the break, I created that sense within the bubble into this white light. And she's telling me this after the fact the next day. And it was so fascinating, because she also set the stage for that transformation to happen. And mm-hmm. I just remember, you know, in my fog of I'm listening and I'm not really awake, but I am. I just remember at one point thinking, oh my gosh, the joy. The music went from, it kind of takes you down and calms you and relaxes you. But then all of a sudden it was like this bubbling came up, and it was like such joy.
Yeah. Joy and energy and liveliness and life, really, is what I took from that too, the second half. And I don't fall asleep in those. I like to watch, to listen, to take it all in. And even his persona while he was performing his music changed from the first set to the second, and his intensity and his focus, and it was very interesting to watch. I like to take pictures and videos and things, so I grab different images just to remember some of those moments, because they were really, really magical in what he did. It was great.
So as people are thinking, they're listening and they're thinking, all from a cup of tea. But when you have a group of people that come together with an intention and they do an activity that engages them all to be together, So that action might be having a cup of tea. Sometimes it's Tai Chi, could be dancing, might be singing, maybe in the choir. But it's could that be, idea.
Could be anything.
Yeah, that idea of coming together for the wealth and the support of everybody in the group. It changes people and it changes situations. It's just such joy. I was so glad that as a family we got to experience that again, because we met David almost 20 years ago. So it was quite something.
It was a long time. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so let's move from the possibilities that this beautiful tea can bring us in the conversation today. And for those people joining us, whatever you're sipping on, just know that we've brought in that intention and it's ready to go. So let's talk a little bit about gratitude. And I know your conversations with the Moyo family, you talk about the attitude that they have as they come through some of the hardships that they're enduring, and just the connection that you make with them in regards to gratitude. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. I do talk to the family every day to a couple of days, and it can be different members of the family. And it's always amazing given what I know they have and given what I know we have, just how different our sense of gratitude is. For them, everything is something to be grateful for. Everything is something for them connected to God and to be grateful to God for. So there's quite a religious connection for them too. But in everything that happens, and even if I say, you know, right now there is no money to send. I understand there's a need for this or that, but you know, I'm here with you. We'll talk about it. We'll see what our, you know, outside the box thinking can do. They're grateful just for the companionship and the love. They're grateful for the fact that the world hasn't forgotten them. You know, that someone has reached out to say, yeah, you all matter. Each of you has a purpose. And you're not invisible. You're not thrown away. Somehow we're going to help bring those purposes and those intentions for the family out, and they can be grateful for prayer, for a hello. They're grateful for us letting them know that we're okay. It's always a question in their mind, especially right now with the cold. They don't understand how we can survive in the cold. For them, they live often in the 30 Celsius to 40 Celsius range, very, very hot, where we'd be gone. I would be gone. I wouldn't be able to survive that. And so when I tell them the temperature's here and I send them little snippets, little videos I take, and I'll talk in those or little pictures, or I'll just try and describe what we do to manage the cold, they ask, you know, how are our babies? You know, are our babies okay? What can they do? They'll pray for our babies. They'll pray for our children that they stay warm and safe. So the attitude of gratitude is really compounded in an attitude of giving. And they're the most giving people. And yet again, materially, we have so much more around us. But I think their spiritual grounding and their sense of family and ownership within the family, that everybody has a responsibility, is so strong that the gratitude, it just exudes from everything that they do. It's incredibly inspiring. And it certainly makes you stop and do a self-check and say, you know, am I exhibiting the same kind of gratitude? Am I showing the same kind of compassion and love for others and care that they're showing and that they're demonstrating and following their leadership? Really, in that area, they're the leaders and I'm the follower.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think we forget sometimes how that real big connection, how much that means. And that's that smiling at a person as you're walking down the street, or with all the homes we have right now, the tent cities and people just struggling to find their way through, that smile, that gesture, that moment of compassion, really allows us to make that connection, but then also the opportunity for gratitude to be evoked out of those situations to make mm-hmm. that connection so real.
Just the steps that give other people respect and dignity make such a difference. You know, you talked about some of the situations with tent cities and homelessness. And there's all sorts of names that may or may not be the politically correct name, depending on where you're at or who you're with. And that's not intended to be a line of that. The organization I work for has people that are dealing face to face every day with people in those circumstances and people in the opioid crisis. And the biggest thing is just that respect and, you know, that you didn't just walk by and ignore. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean money or a handout is expected, but being kind, thinking about what do I have that would make a difference? Mm-hmm. You know, if I've got 10 coats in my closet that I don't wear, do I really need all 10 of those coats? Mm-hmm. Because to someone else, that's a lifesaver. To me, it's a different fashion design if I wear this one versus that one because I have more than one. Mm-hmm. You know, and so it is quite a difference. And just, I think just recognizing and acknowledging people is huge. And it may make the difference between life and death for some people, just having someone else actually see them and not step around them or step over them, mm-hmm. but really see them and acknowledge that they're mm-hmm. there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As we're talking about gratitude, the flip side or the pairing that comes with that is forgiveness. And that can be really difficult and challenging situations. How have you had conversations with the Moyos about forgiveness?
Often their forgiveness is tied to prayer and their conversations with God, that they're, I think just like anyone else, they find certain circumstances challenging. Right now, they've had a problem of thieves. And in a place where you don't have a lot to begin with, to have thieves come in and take some of what little you have. And there's a lot of threat for thieves, say, in harvesting the gardens that are farther away. And how do you set up security for those types of things? All of these concerns. Yet they don't blame someone else. They don't necessarily take ownership that it's self-created either, and they don't think it is self-created. But they certainly offer up forgiveness to others in an amazing way. And I think they offer up forgiveness to the rest of the world, which the rest of us really need to think about. You know, this is one family, one example of many, many families around the world that feel like they're invisible. And yet they're not, they don't have negative feelings towards us. They have gratitude and appreciation. So it's kind of tied in together. Mm-hmm. There's certainly still accountability. Forgiveness doesn't mean, you know, having a free rein to do whatever actions that you want. You know, when the kids are misbehaving, they still have to be, you know, there's still correction. There's still, you know, what is the order of who does what and how are things done? And there's responsibility to community and to family members that everyone is responsible for. And if someone isn't pulling their weight, then that's something to go over in the family, you know, or in the community. But I think it's different than here where we really like to blame and point fingers mm-hmm. at others. And yet we have so much to be grateful for when sometimes those things are so petty when you look back. Mm-hmm. You know, try and think of all those little nitpicks that you had with somebody over, you know, things over the years or something like that. How significant are those in the big picture? Mm-hmm. And does holding the weight of those on really, does that add to your life? Maybe doing something to change them does add to your life. I'm not saying just ignore, mm-hmm. but I think it also makes a difference in dealing with it and then trying to find a a better outlet for your energy. Because that, mm-hmm. that negative energy is also a weight, right? And we see all kinds of problems with depression and mental illness and a lot of things that people just feel overwhelmed with. And having more negative weight certainly can't help those situations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I was doing a program of dance today with Bonnie Bainbridge, and she'll have to forgive me her last name. It's a hyphenated last name. I've forgotten the last part, but Bonnie Bainbridge, who is in her 80s. She's an amazing woman. But today was consciousness and feeling the weight of consciousness. Mm-hmm. And that was holding onto an object and then removing the object, but still seeing if you can feel the weight of it. And then can you feel the lightness of the weight removed, but the idea of the object still there? And mm-hmm. so as I was exploring what that meant for movement, you do lighten up. So yes, you have the weight of a burden and you can carry the weight, or you can choose to be lifted up by it and it's still present and you can still have an awareness of it, but it certainly changes the way the muscle tension is, changes the way the physical structure is, how deep your breath is, all because of the perception you have of the way you want to work with it. Mm-hmm. Which works here too. And when you're thinking about, you could take on that weight of the world, or you can help support the weight of the world to hold itself up.
Absolutely. And finding a way so that you don't have to be Atlas. You don't have to have the world on your shoulders alone. Mm-hmm. Right? If everybody's got a little bit of the world on their shoulders, it's not so heavy.
Yeah.
If one person has the whole world, it's crushing. And no one should feel crushed. Mm-hmm. Right? And I think that was an interesting message. I talked to you about this a little bit before we started today, that sermon that we had in our church on the weekend. Pastor Darrell, and I don't have his last name either, but we'll just say Pastor Dale from Powers Creek Community Church. He was talking about things. It was related to the church, but I think you can extrapolate and relate it to life. And some of those things were talking about if you feel like you've lost your love, you know, so are you somewhere? Are you staying busy? Are you doing things just because you have to? Just because that's the routine, that's what's expected, all of these things, but you've kind of lost your love for what you're doing. And if you have, this is a good time to sit back, you know, drink your tea, think about it, think of what got you to that place in the first place. You know, what got you excited about whatever it is that you're doing, and refine that love. And the second point that he talked about was, Are you being critical or are you being compassionate? And often we kind of get in a rut of just nitpicking or complaining, and it may fester with other people that build with, you know, I say this negative thing and they say the next one, and then we can build on each other and we can build this whole mountain of negativity and criticism or complaint. And often it could be about other people or about how somebody does things. But instead, we could turn that around and try and work with compassion and make those choices with compassion instead of critiquing. And if you have that mental shift of maybe where is that organization at? Where is that person at? Why is my boss doing this? You know, why is my family doing this? It could be whatever circumstance. But taking that different approach. And then the third thing that he brought up was asking yourself if you're being passive instead of passionate. And if you don't have the passion for what you're doing, it's kind of hard to get all excited and get behind it and feel energized by doing it instead of being burdened. And if you're too busy being busy instead of being able to look at what is it that brought you there? What is it that gave you the passion to do something in the first place? What's exciting? Where can you find that? And it could be anything from you know, baking cookies with your kids, to relationships, your work, to your faith, to, I mean, it could go anywhere for all three of these things. But I think those all really seem to connect. And when I think of those in terms of the Moyo family, I've never heard them criticize anyone. They take a lot of ownership. They may ask questions. They may ask God, you know, why, how can we endure this next crisis that's hit us? How will we rebuild? That's not really criticism. But they still are looking to, how else are they going to help the people in their village? If are there people worse off than them, and how do they reach out and help them? You know, quite an amazing mindset given their circumstances. They're definitely not passive. Their passion to share, to love, to pray for, to lift other people up, it has no bounds. You know, so they certainly have that. And there's no loss of love. I mean, that family, through every crisis that has hit, every adult or parent that has died, the family takes in the children of those deceased siblings or relatives, making it a bigger and bigger family, some of whom are orphans, and in most circumstances would have gone to an orphanage. In most other families, they wouldn't have found the means or the way to keep a family together in these really, really dire circumstances. But because they haven't lost that love, they have a huge love for God and for family. It's not really a question. It may be a question of how are we going to do it, but not if we're going to do it. Mm-hmm. So if we all jump in with, you know, it's not a question of the ifs. It's how we're going to do it, because we've got this passion for what we want to do. We want to make a difference. We want to change. And that change is kind of self-interested, because the more you do that, the more it boosts you up as well. And you get more benefit out of it and from the connections that you make, whether it's the people here that you work with, the people from afar that you're working with. It doesn't really matter what the project is. This is my passion and my mission. This family is like my family. People can have so many different things that they can engage in and mm-hmm. feel that difference and make that difference, from the smallest thing of waving and smiling at a new neighbor, so that they know that there's, you know, there's actually humanity out there. It's not just all these closed doors on the street. To you know, volunteering to be on a board. I mean, you can go, you know, or to be the ground force of some organization. You can be as small or as big as you want. It's just a matter of how much sort of integrity and passion you have in doing that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about, we've talked about it before, and I know it came up while we were together, but the Moyo children in education, because they just went back to school. So then there was school fees, and it's not cheap to go to school there. For a very poor country, it's very expensive for these kids to go to school.
Yeah, it really is. And that's something that's very important to the family, because they understand that with education, there are more opportunities and more ways for the children to better themselves in the future and to better the family. So education has been a very strong plan and hope for Stephen and Maria initially, for their kids, and now for the other kids in the family, not all of whom are necessarily going to school because of the costs. The costs per child depends, you know, the younger kids to the older kids, but on average, say maybe $120 to $150 per term, and there'll be three terms in the school year.
And that's in Canadian funds?
That's in our dollars. So okay. That could be a whole year's worth of work. Yeah. Send one child to school. So all five of the Moyo kids are in school and have been. Some of the other family members are not, mm-hmm. which is a struggle. Then even things like getting pencils and papers and books is sort of the next step. They generally don't work with their own books. We did have a set of books that, the older kids were using a couple of years ago, but there's been a couple of natural disasters that those got washed away along with all, everything else. But we were hoping that those would be something that could be passed down then to the younger kids to then use, because all of the kids in a classroom will use one book that, one or two books that the teacher has for 30, 40, even 50 children. I don't know how they do that.
Yeah.
Here we'll close the schools in extreme heat or extreme cold. The kids walk, 4 or 5 kilometers, depending on which school and which age, to get to school in the morning. They don't necessarily have lunch because they may not have enough food to be able to take food or lunches with them. They don't have school supplies. They may sit out in the heat in 30 or 40 degree Celsius weather to learn. And then they have to do well enough that they get invited back to school the next year. So you have to be successful. There's a lot of pressure to succeed, not even from the families, although if the families have invested in education, anyone in the district, there is a lot of pressure then for the kids to do well. So mm-hmm. They have a lot of standardized tests at the end of classes, at the end of terms and end of grades, and then anxiously waiting to see, did they do well enough to move on? I don't think in the really younger grades that they do that, but I think once it's what we would consider it to be like a middle school and high school age, then it's not a given that even if you had the money, could you go to school? You have to have achieved a certain level and maintain a certain level for the school to keep you.
Wow.
Very different here. So the kids are very appreciative of the opportunity for school because they see their cousins living with them who aren't able to go to school too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's quite a shock. Some people will ask me, well, do you send them, boxes of school supplies or books or things? And because their curriculum will be different than ours, sending books doesn't make sense, and it's very heavy and very expensive to ship things. But I haven't sent things that are school supplies, and the reason is that school supplies can be bought there. So I have sent them a couple of boxes, not in a couple of years now, because of the cost of shipping. I find it's better to send them money where they can go and they can spend that money at another local merchant, which will then benefit that other family as well. Mm-hmm. Because if I just ship things, there's no benefit other than to the family receiving it, but there's no benefit to anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if they're going to the vendor who sells the pencils and the notebooks, then that family has a bonus if there's a new family who's able to purchase those.
Mm-hmm.
Not a bonus. It's an increase in their business. So that's some of the logic of not just sending trinket boxes or boxes like shoe boxes that we see that for Christmas that some organizations will do. And I certainly don't disagree with them. I think it's great to be able to do that. But in the case of this family, it hasn't panned out that the $100 or $200 that I would spend to ship a very small box there, and it would get there in a couple of months, and we aren't necessarily sure that it will all get there, or it may be pilfered a little bit at a mail station somewhere. We just don't know if it gets there at all. But that $100 or $200 of postage fees could be a lot of food. Or it could be, that would be probably 6 or 7 mosquito nets, at $200. It's just when you compare what it could purchase if they bought it themselves there versus the just lost cost of shipping, it just doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then you've got, I was thinking about the kids who have to become adults because it's time for them to be out in the field working and they need to bring the harvest in. So school becomes something that is a luxury that the family can no longer afford for them. What do they do with, and it, just linking back to forgiveness, knowing that, that's the end of their education and then supporting that next group of kids coming up to try to help them to get the education. Have you talked with them a little bit about those feelings?
I have. One of the young adults in particular, her name is Grace, and her parents are no longer with her. They both died. She's about 22 or 23. So young adult. She might be a little bit younger than that, around their early 20s anyway. When Stephen died a couple of years ago of COVID, she was still going to school, and they can go to school later than we do. They have a different numbering and grading and everything else. But she left school to come home and help with doing the washing and some of the cleaning that's needed to look after all of the kids in the family, in this combined extended family. And so she missed out on different learning opportunities and maybe a career that she might have been able to move on to something else. We have been blessed, though, with our connection with Grace Pads, who we paid for half of the feminine hygiene kits for the women and girls in the family, and Grace Pads and other donors contributed the other half. But with Grace Pads, one of the things that they do is they go out and they do an education piece with the families that they, or the ladies and girls that they provide these things to. And when this is another Grace, so there's two Graces we're talking about, one with Grace Pads, one with the Moyo family. So Grace from Grace Pads, when she was out and speaking to the family and giving them these kits, she spent time talking to each of the women and girls about, what are your hopes and dreams? What would you like to do? You know, the best of all worlds, you know, if you could do something, if you could do something that would add economically to the family or to yourself, what would you want to do? And it's something I've been asking and trying to get them to think about, but I think it's something that seemed a little bit surreal to them until they actually had someone in Malawi who came down and showed them that here she herself is only in her 20s. Yeah. And here she's all these systems built up and inspiring so many people and making them stop to think, what do I want to do and how do I achieve that? Which is completely new thinking. But also it will benefit the family. So even with that loss of education, the bitterness isn't there. Now there's, amidst all of the challenge for food and survival and health, there's an excitement about, you know, maybe some of these dreams will really come true. Maybe, you know, for Grace in our family, Grace in the Moyo family, she said she'd like to be a hairdresser. And Grace from Grace Pads had given her some coaching about how to accomplish that. What are some of the steps she would need to do that? So you can try and approach shopkeepers to take you on as a mentor and apprentice kind of idea. So that's something that our Grace is going to try and do. Stella is wanting to learn more about agriculture. So she's got a little baby. She is already harvesting so much food for the family. And with a little baby in tow, he's not a year yet. He'll be a year in a week or two. And somehow, on her own, she is doing this harvesting at a faraway garden. So it's not something where you can just step outside and harvest that. This is big gardens of maize and rice and sweet potatoes and big crops. So she'd like to learn more about agriculture. So she was inspired by Grace from Grace Pads, that this is something she could learn more about. And there's other women who are interested in making small items that they could sell at local markets. And it's just, you know, others wanted sewing machines that they could both repair clothing in the family, but then maybe they could resell some clothing if they knew how to sew and had a sewing machine to be able to do that. So just the inspiration of speaking to someone has given them so much hope and excitement. And unlike, I think, how some of us, and probably myself included, would feel like the world has just, you know, sat on my hopes and dreams, and I'm never going to get anywhere. Woe is me. Instead, they are behind each other and supporting each other. And, you know, if I say, well, here's my question from Grace at Grace Paths, she'd like to know about, you know, this information, they'll get back to me with, we'll be right on that as soon as we can get that back to you, hopefully by tomorrow. But if not, it'll be the next day. They're so eager to take ownership of what they can do for themselves. Mm-hmm. And the differences that they can make for themselves and for others. So it's incredibly inspiring.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think about that gesture, right? You reached out to Grace Pads and made one miracle happen, or several multi miracles happen. But the fact that they went and hand delivered those packages and made that connection, and that there we're talking about community again, and just who you smile at, who you listen to, who you support in whatever their ideals are. We just don't know how far it can go, and
it's really incredible. Yeah, and how much being heard can make someone feel like they can do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. There is something different where they never really saw a different way. Stephen's goal when he was alive was to build information and ways to help feed widows, young moms, and things, because he wanted to change the nutrition for new babies, especially.
Mm-hmm.
That was part of his goal, and he was trying to go out and do that within his congregation and reach out and make that difference. And we haven't been able to do that in quite the same way without him. But there's different ways that we're working to expand and help other people. So helping these little bits of help, you know, and the kids seeing that there's other things out there, and there's different things that are available for them to do, and what they can do to make things different for their village, for their family, for their future.
Mm-hmm.
They're so excited. You know, they're so eager to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's from school or from our chats, from information from Grace, the Grace mm-hmm. Pads, just overcome with joy with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think one little piece that's in there that's always woven within the podcast is that intention mm-hmm. setting of that. And it could be intention, but it could also be goal, because it depends kind of what you're working on. But if they hadn't had that vision that perhaps they might like to know more about agriculture, if they hadn't had that inkling, they wouldn't have had the conversation that would let them down the road a little bit further. So as people are listening and they might say, well, nothing ever really happens, or I don't know where I want to go. But you do need to at least have some idea of a passion, which you also talked about, something mm-hmm. that really sings in your heart. And thinking about, okay, if I could go to something that sings in my heart, what would that look like and where would I want to be? Because you never know who that person's going to be next talking to you that says, I have the key for that. I know how I can get you there, or I know what the possibilities are going to be. And I think we forget that you need to at least get on the road so you at least know you can get on a map to find where you want to be heading.
And it's okay if you end up taking a different route on that map. Mm-hmm. I mean, that happens.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's not being stalled.
Exactly.
Not being passive, being passionate. Mm-hmm. So that there is movement. You do move forward. Mm-hmm. You do realize that you can make a change, and you do it.
Yeah. Yeah. One other piece I wanted to just talk a little bit about, from the perspective of the five element theory, from Chinese medicine, we've got five elements, and each of the elements has a set of emotions that predominate within that organ system. And when we don't have balance and harmony flowing through the body, so we sat for too long, a couple of muscles spent a lot of time locked up, There becomes over energy in some systems and maybe under energy in others. What happens is that imbalance creates different emotional filters. So I just wanted to talk about that, because sometimes when we get that judgmental piece that you were commenting about, judgment happens or criticism happens when there's an imbalance. And some you could have the same experience tomorrow and you might just go straight through without having a judgmental thought. But today you happen to have this block because something happened and you didn't quite keep the balance and flow happening. And so your brain is doing these little critical analysis pieces, and you get some kind of comment that keeps coming out of your mouth that you wouldn't normally say, but it happens. And so I just wanted to bring that forward for people to think about, because it doesn't really matter necessarily about what's happening in your life, but it makes a difference whether you still keep that balance and flow. And that's having those kinds of emotions like gratitude and forgiveness, compassion, all involved with what you're doing. Because when you have those involved, you have the potential to keep those other emotions that could get stuck in a flow and in the wheel.
I think along with that, sometimes when some of those things become overwhelming and you have that sense of, you know, whatever is going to come out of my mouth today, it's just not going to be good, you know, or those ants, they're called in some places, automatic negative thoughts, that they just compound and gather like at a picnic and eat away at your thoughts. That's a time to also then take those same ideas of compassion and gratitude and giving and turn them back on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether that's sitting with a cup of tea, whether that's having a bubble bath, whether that's going for a run, that's not something I would do, but there's people who do that. And that helps them to refocus and recenter. You know, maybe it's gardening, maybe it's who knows. But every once in a while, you know, just having that regrouping for yourself is okay. You know, maybe it's spending the time in prayer. Maybe it's meditation. Maybe it's Tai Chi like we did on the weekend. Maybe it's Kung Fu, it could be dance, it could be anything, but give yourself the grace and the forgiveness that, you know, maybe that's a signal that you've just gotten too busy again.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to slow it down, recuperate a little bit, and then, you know, come out full speed ahead with the same enthusiasm that you want to have, but you don't have because so much is weighing you down. The danger is that it's easy then to say, well, you know, I stayed away from doing everything yesterday, still don't want to do it today, and for that to become the pattern. So it's important to say, hey, I'm giving myself, whether it's this hour, this afternoon, this day, and then that's what's going to recharge me, and I'm going to be able to move on. Stagnate.
I was just thinking, one of the questions I usually ask myself, you know, I hear that nattering going on and it's critiquing and it's should have, could have, whatever. And then I stop and I ask myself if I'm 100% myself. And if I'm not 100% myself, then I just have a little conversation about getting rid of those little gremlins, like you said, the ants at the picnic, and just sending them on their way and just letting those ants march out and clear the space. And once I do that, a lot of times that's enough for me to just lift, and then my whole focus is completely shifted and those thoughts are all gone. And sometimes I do it with a movement, but sometimes I just stop and realize those little gremlins are groping around there and I've got to just shoo them on their way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just talking with somebody, like letting it out and letting someone else hear it and support you.
Mm-hmm. Because even saying it sometimes, right, comes out of your mouth and you're like, okay, that sounded bad. Or I can't believe I said it that way. And you think, oh, this is not right. I need to flip myself around here. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you can't tell a person, then have a furry friend or a fish or whatever, you know, because pets will hear it and they won't judge and you'll feel better.
Yeah. Yeah. They'll just go get the ball. Say, please play with me again. So have you got some kind of a movement pattern? I know I talked about low cup at the beginning, stop the cart and ask for directions, making choices about thriving and living well. Have you got an activity that's your kind of go-to thing that we could recommend for people today if they're kind of stuck and they're not sure what to do?
That's a good question. I like the, I mean, I've been working on the foundation exercises in Tai Chi. Mm-hmm. So for me right now, those are good because I'm learning those so I can learn to instruct them. But I find there's one where you just put your hands up and
just turn the hands,
mm-hmm. your hands in front of you. And it just helps. It warms your hands up. If your hands are cold, you can start to feel your hands tingle. You don't have to do it for long. You don't have to do it for fast. You can do it while your tea is brewing or your breakfast is heating up or your coffee's brewing, whatever. I often am doing this. I'll do that and look out the window if I make another cup in the morning or something, or lunch is heating up. But it's just something that can give you some energy. And just looking at, doesn't have to be, preparing for a marathon or having like a whole routine that you do. It can be just knowing that that's something. Or we've talked about like that you've done the ear rub with a lot of us, that we go through and rub the ear and do some self-checks on what that's done to release some of the stress. And amazingly, it does. And people are always so surprised in all the classes when that works. Mm-hmm. So those are big ones. Mm-hmm. For me, I like to walk my dog too, or play with the dog. But I find that to be quite relaxing, which not everybody has a dog to do that. But for the movements, for me right now, it's sort of the foundation moves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that whole, the ears, I think what I've delighted in the last couple of months is really developing what kinds of awareness can we have about how we're feeling and noticing that our posture, if it hunches over or it shrinks, how much pressure we're really feeling. And maybe we're not quite being supported by gravity. Gravity's kind of sucking us into the ground instead of feeling lifted and expanded out of that. So the you talked about the ear rub, which is definitely great to line everything up, rubbing three times down the ear for those that haven't done it before. But also just pulling up on the ears and realizing how even the center of the chest has sunk. And that sinking, that's where your breath is. That's grief, guilt, regret, all can sit in there. So if it's compressed for a long period of time, you can have those kinds of thoughts or emotions pop up. And so that opportunity to lift the ears and find how the posture can be lifted, and then realizing, oh, that's where straight is, not what I was doing. It just feels lighter, as we were talking mm-hmm. about the heaviness of objects or experience.
One thing that's been quite interesting is I like to sit up straighter a lot more now, after doing more of the Tai Chi work and more of the work with you. I'm just thinking about, like right now, I'm sitting at the front of the chair with my back straight, not kind of relaxed.
Back into the chair. Yeah.
Back into the chair. And I changed out one of my love seats recently because it was too slouchy for more of a, not quite as cushy.
Yep.
But it lets you be able to sit up. And the difference of sitting up versus slouching is something everybody can do. You don't really need any practice with that. And it can make quite a difference, like you said, for breathing, or for back strain. Mm-hmm. If you do a lot of work on computers, like I do, you do, just making a difference in your posture, being aware of your posture is quite transformative.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I've been reading The Wild Feminine. And it's all about the pelvic floor and how most people are imbalanced on those muscles. And depending on which muscles are not working, you have different viewpoints that you'll be experiencing. So whether you feel supported or you have fear, how you might express yourself or how you accept things that come towards you. And that also has changed for me when I'm sitting, because I do sit up, same as you. I just now it's like, why would you use the back of a chair, you know, when you can be completely supported yourself. But I also now try to be dynamically sitting so that I'm always moving through the pelvis, forward, backward, around, whatever I happen to be doing. I'm not just sitting and putting that pressure down onto the pelvic floor, because it's taking a lot of weight from that whole core of your body. But if you can lift and support it and keep moving it, those muscles will be working and harmonizing with each other. And I knew that, you know, because the pelvic floor matches to the hips, matches to the shoulders, to the jaw, but you kind of lose track, you know, you're sitting on a chair, you know, it's just sitting, but it can be very different. All right. Having said all that, I did want to mention to people, you and I had last week extremely cold temperatures. Yes. Blast of winter that hit us. And I know in other places they're having blasts of heat. But what I would recommend that if you can go outside and walk in nature is to take the five senses walk. And I know I mentioned it before, but sometimes listening to the world and really hear what it's saying to you. So yes, you're listening for birds. You might hear the rustling of leaves in the tree. We listen to the softness. This was kind of fun. The softness of just before it's going to snow. It's just so quiet. But then what is that message that comes with it? So yes, you have the quiet. And then how does that make you feel, what comes with it? So I'm just inviting people to think about what their experience would be out walking. And then words that might come to you or the smell. What is the scent of the world? Sometimes we go, oh, yeah, that's a rose. And again, I was thinking about the Moyo family trying to understand we were in a blizzard and we were in a deep freeze. And they're trying to comprehend what that is. And I was thinking about when you step on the snow, the temperature of the snow, it has different crunches.
Yeah. I videoed and sent them videos of just my feet walking and crunching.
Yeah. And you've got the texture of the snow changes, what the foot feels like when you walk on it changes. So I just thought I would invite people, not necessarily you're going to have snow to walk on, but just to really think about what are you smelling and what is that meaning to you when you do smell it, when it's just the world, and what does the world smell like and what's possible. And the other I thought about was tasting the air. Again, when it's just going to snow and it's just before that, it's got a little bit of a flavor that comes with it. It doesn't have a description, but you just know it's going to snow.
In the air. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the last would be things like being able to ground or touch a tree, hugging another, finding ways to feel that connection. And if you haven't felt connected, maybe it's bringing a rock inside with you and, you know, holding it in your hands while you're doing something inside, or putting your feet on a rock. A lot of people will do that under their desk to help them be grounded. So I just thought I would bring those ideas forward. And then as you're doing that, just reflecting on those emotions we talked about today. So the gratitude, as you're walking with those senses, what are they providing? What does that mean for gratitude for you? And then what does it mean for forgiveness? How are you feeling supported? And then what does compassion mean to you when you have that nourishment coming towards you? Can you be more compassionate to others? So I would invite people to take a little walk and think about some of the ideas that we've brought forward today. It's been a long and interesting road of conversation. So I hope that people will start to really reflect on how they're living and how they're reaching out. And as what happened at David Hickey's concert was you had some people who were really interested in learning more about the Moyos and participating with them and becoming more engaged. Do you want to share a little bit about how people can take that same route if that's something they're feeling called to do?
Sure. And I think you usually have the link to, there is a GoFundMe that I'd set up a number of years ago now. I haven't updated the information on it. That's one of my, when life isn't quite as busy, I'll update that. So I do need to do that. But the link is still good. And the funds come in, and all those funds go directly to helping the Moyo family. I send them on to them. You can buy a community, whether it's from the Cape Breton Tea Company link, and you'll have that here as well. Or if you're in the Okanagan region and you know myself or Doug and Yvonne, my parents, all of us have the teas and we can sell that to you direct. So we have those available. And I think if you know Michelle in the East, that she's got that same.
All ready to go.
All ready to go. And again, those monies, it's not done through a charity. It's not done through an organization or anything. I take the funds in and I convert them to the Malawi kwacha, is what the currency is. And I send those direct to them digitally, which, you know, thank goodness for what we've got in that, in the technology now that we're able to do that. But that's where they go. There's no administration. There's nothing. Cape Breton Tea Company donated all of the ingredients and the packaging and the processing to make the tea packages. So all of that money goes to the Moyo family. So we appreciate any help. And if someone wants to reach out to me, they can reach me through Facebook, Charlene Waynes. Just send me a message, and in the message say, you know, you want to know more about the Moyos or the tea or Malawi, just something that tells me that you're not a bot, basically.
And then our initiative, I know for 2024, aside from other things that are going to pop up, is we're really striving to get towards building that house with the structure that can be more withstanding of some of the weather patterns that they have. So if there's people out there thinking that might be something they like to be a part of, that is one of our bigger goals. And so please step forward if there's anybody who would like to support that.
And we did get house plans drawn up a couple weeks ago in Malawi. Oh, so beautiful. Again, that was a connection through Grace Pads, that she's got a contractor that she had go out. It was either Christmas Day or Boxing Day and walk through the land that the Moyos have, where a house could be built, and look at the land and look at what's the best design that could be made, and came up with just some really very, very preliminary sketches for a brick-made house. Well, actually, probably two houses to start with. They'll need more than that for the whole family, but that's the start that we're looking at. So we do have some progress there. We've got some steps made.
Awesome. Congratulations on that. That's amazing.
Well, and some of that is thanks to the community. So it's all of our celebration. Absolutely.
Yeah. Beautiful. Wonderful. Well, let's bring this conversation to a close. And we will be gathering again in another month with an update. And that'll bring us to almost the end of season 3, which I can't even believe I'm saying that. So those people listening, I will announce then what season 4 is going to look like and the approach that we'll be taking. And in the meantime, we hope that what season 3 has provided you with in listening to transformational processes will help you create magic in your own life and in the lives of the people that you touch. And our season has had lots of different interesting conversations. And so I invite you to go back and listen to some of the archives, because there are really some valuable tips and tools in there. And to remember that every podcast that you listen to is actually designed to be a healing podcast. So it changes how you're feeling and opening up balance and flow for you through the activities that we participate in. So we thank you for listening, and please go back to the archives. Thank you, Charlene, for being here.
Thanks for having me again. Have a good evening.
Take care, everyone. Be well.
Bye-bye.